From Heaven with Love. Chapter 47. A Battle with Satan's Spirits. As the sun arose, Jesus and his disciples descended to the plain. Absorbed in thought, the disciples were awed and silent. Gladly they would have lingered in that holy place, but there was work to be done. At the foot of the mountain a large company had gathered. As the Savior drew near, he charged his three companions to keep silence concerning what they had witnessed, saying, "Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." To relate the revelation to the multitudes would excite only ridicule or idle wonder. How slow of comprehension even the three favored disciples were, is seen in that they queried among themselves what the rising from the dead should mean. Yet they asked no explanation from Jesus. As the people on the plain caught sight of Jesus, they ran to greet him. Yet his quick eye discerned that a circumstance had occurred that had caused the disciples bitter disappointment and humiliation. A father had brought his son to be delivered from a dumb spirit that tormented him. Authority to cast out unclean spirits had been conferred on the disciples when Jesus sent them to preach through Galilee. As they went forth strong in faith, the evil spirits had obeyed their word. Now in the name of Christ they commanded the torturing spirit to leave his victim, but the demon only mocked them. The disciples, unable to account for their defeat, felt they were bringing dishonor on themselves and their master. And in the crowd were scribes seeking to prove that they and their master were deceivers. Here was an evil spirit that neither the disciples nor Christ himself could conquer. A feeling of contempt and scorn pervaded the crowd. But suddenly Jesus and the three disciples were seen approaching. The night of communion with heavenly glory had left on their countenances a light that awed the beholders. The Savior came to the scene of conflict, and fixing his gaze on the scribes inquired, "What question ye with them?" But the voices so bold and defiant before were silent. Now the afflicted father made his way through the crowd, and falling at the feet of Jesus, poured out the story of his trouble and disappointment. "Master," he said, "I have brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not." Jesus read the unbelief in every heart, and exclaimed, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" Then he bade the distressed father, "Bring thy son hither." The boy was brought, and the evil spirit cast him to the ground in convulsions of agony. He lay wallowing and foaming, rending the air with unearthly shrieks. Again the Prince of Life and the Prince of Darkness met on the field of battle, Christ to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised, Satan seeking to hold his victim under his control. For a moment, Jesus permitted the evil spirit to display his power. Jesus asked, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" The father told the story of long years of suffering, and then, as if he could endure no more, exclaimed, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. If thou canst." Even now the father questioned the power of Christ. Jesus answered, "All things are possible to him that believeth." With a burst of tears, realizing his own weakness, the father cast himself on Christ's mercy, "I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Jesus turned to the suffering one and said, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." There was a cry, an agonized struggle. Then the boy lay motionless, apparently lifeless. The multitude whispered, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifting him up, presented him in perfect soundness of mind and body to his father. Father and son praised their deliverer, while the scribes, defeated and crestfallen, turned sullenly away. Faith connects us with heaven. "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us." How many a sin-burdened soul has echoed that prayer? And to all the answer is, "All things are possible to him that believeth." In Christ, God has provided means for subduing every sinful trait and resisting every temptation, however strong. But many feel that they lack faith, and therefore they remain away from Christ. Let these souls look not to self, but to Christ. Faith comes by the word of God. Grasp his promise, Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Cast yourself at his feet with the cry, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You can never perish while you do this, never. In a brief space of time the favored disciples had seen humanity as transfigured into the image of God, and as debased into the likeness of Satan. They had seen Jesus proclaimed the Son of God, and had seen him meet the maniac boy gnashing his teeth in agony. This mighty Redeemer, who a few hours before stood glorified, stooped to lift the victim of Satan from the earth, and restore him to his Father and home. It was an object lesson of redemption, the Divine One stooping to save the lost. It represented also the disciples' mission. Not alone on the mountaintop with Jesus is the life of Christ's servants to be spent. Down in the plain, souls whom Satan has enslaved are waiting for the word of faith and prayer to set them free. When Jesus was once more alone with the 9 disciples, they questioned, "Why could not we cast him out?" Jesus answered, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place. And it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Their unbelief, that shut them out from deeper sympathy with Christ, and the carelessness with which they regarded the sacred work committed to them had caused their failure. Jealous of the 3 disciples selected to accompany Jesus to the mountain, they had been dwelling on their discouragements and personal grievances. In this state of darkness they had undertaken the conflict with Satan. In order to succeed in such a conflict, their faith must be strengthened by fervent prayer, fasting, and humiliation of heart. They must be emptied of self and be filled with the Spirit and power of God. Faith that leads to entire dependence on God and unreserved consecration to His work can alone bring men the Holy Spirit's aid in the battle against wicked spirits. Lay hold on God's Word and all the helpful agencies He has appointed. Thus your faith will strengthen. The obstacles piled by Satan across your path, apparently as insurmountable as the eternal hills, shall disappear before the demand of faith. Nothing shall be impossible unto you.